Okay, so in the spirit, again, this is not a halachic class. This is to have a certain, hopefully, better understanding in Pesach preparations, in which we go through our stuff. We're looking for the chametz, representing something negative. Many people, even though you're not obligated to do a spring cleaning, but at least I can share my experience, and I'm the rule, not the exception, is that whenever there is Pesach coming, there is a lot of turnover that happens in a home because of the cleaning. Cleaning doesn't begin with cleaning. Cleaning almost begins with making a mess, taking everything out. And what's however cleaning? Like the house looked clean before you begin cleaning, from my perspective. And all of a sudden, this is called cleaning, but that's called cleaning. You take everything out to reorganize it, including the looking for the chametz. So I want to share a certain Torah that I misunderstood. I think many people have my misunderstanding, and I want to upgrade it and share. And everyone who listens has the right to disagree. So I'll begin with a line from this week's portion. The portion of Tzav speaks about the mitzvah of having a constant fire on the altar. Eish tamid tukad al mizbeach, a fire, should consistently burn on the altar. Be'emes, there were a couple of pyres. The word pyre means piles of wood. When people are imagining, just to have the right image, it wasn't logs the way we have a bonfire. It wasn't logs. It was very similar to tiles. Their size was around 18 or 20 inches by 20 inches, and they had they were very skinny. Think about a floor tile made out of wood, and they were piled. And there were three or four piles, called in English pyres, on the Mizbeach. The whole thing was fascinating. It wasn't the way you think symmetrical. It wasn't exactly in the middle. Every fire had its place. And one of them needed to be constantly burning. Eish tamid tukat ala Mizbeach. That's in the positive. And then the Torah says, loy sichbe, don't extinguish it. Or maybe even more, don't allow for it to be extinguished. Constantly feed it. That's the pshat. So there is a Torah, either from the Maggid or from the Baal Shem Tov, that says, regarding inside us, we have the positive and the negative. And the Torah is that if the fire is burning the whole time in your heart, then loy, the negativity, sichpa, will be extinguished. Which would mean that the way you get rid of all of the negative is don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on you keep the fire burning. And when a person is in fire for spirituality, that almost automatically gets rid of the loy. Okay. I heard this very young. It's a very uplifting Torah. And you live life. I met many people. I know many people that have a genuine fire burning the whole time. Okay, we're not tzaddikim, but people that are on fire for holy, for ruchnias, for God, for the Rebbe, for mitzvahs. And I have yet to see any of them have their negativity diminished. I'm not talking about behavior. I'm not saying that they're behaving wrong, but I have not seen that. And it bothered me. Bothered me meaning, okay, that's life. But I cannot make peace with that. It's a Torah from a tzaddik is emes. So I was trying to... I'm comfortable to have a question, first of all. I don't need to have answers. But it doesn't hurt to try. And I was thinking about this for a while. And last night, by Yasheva Brachas, I heard a very sincere Jew say this Torah. I think he's already 50. And he's a teacher for in a masifta. I mean, he teaches bachrim. He doesn't deal with married men or women. And he meant it. He meant it the way I get that. Huh? Yeah. And he sits down next to me, and I told him, I want you to know that in my life's experience, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that if you would only keep your fire of Kedusha alive, your loy will be extinguished. I haven't seen that. I have seen great people doing the best they could, suppressing, covering, and still it always finds a manifestation, not in the classical way. People make a mistake by thinking that sin looks a certain way. And that they're not doing, but it comes out another way, which could be much worse. Just it doesn't have the label. Somehow it escapes. It manifests. I know. So I haven't seen the way this is worded, that if a person will only to keep the fire burning, then the negativity will be extinguished. What was interesting to me is that I was ready for a fight, a holy fight. I was even ready to be called an unbeliever. He right away agreed with me. And this is a person that's dealing with yeshiva boys. Because what I told him is, I told him that since you deal with yeshiva bachrim and good yeshiva bachrim, of course, at that young age, living in denial is not even, a person doesn't even know that they are in denial. That's how good the denial can be when you're young. You have to be older. I told him that I'm speaking to someone who's over 50. Maybe before 50, it keeps the loy in check. It keeps the loy hidden. But all these things that are hidden, I told him, is like a seed. Oy gavalt. If a seed is bad and you don't deal with it, you leave it on the ground, then you get the whole freaking tree with leaves, with fruits, a whole balagan. He could have listened to me for an hour. I was thinking to myself, so what does it mean? And I have a whole new understanding. It's not such a big new understanding, but I think it's an important upgrade. That is exactly what the Rebbe was saying. And I just thought about the cleaning of the chametz. Isn't it amazing that the burning of the chametz through fire is a one-moment event? It's a one-moment event. But until we get to the burning of the chametz, what are we doing for a month? Basically, from after Purim. What are we doing? We're digging everything up. We're exposing the chametz. We are getting to know the chametz. And then, once it's known, then if we are worthy, we got to burn it. But there's no way you can do biur chametz, which means you can't do the mitzvah of the burning of the chametz, if you don't go looking for the chametz. Certainly when it comes to the holiday celebrating freedom, think about that. Certainly when it comes to the first of all of the Yomim Tovim, think about the concept of the first, of the foundation. When it comes to the Yom Tov that celebrates the birth of the Jewish people, you have to acknowledge that halacha demands of us to look for the negative. And like I mentioned, it's not just for the negative. You make the biggest balagan, not you. I think it's universal. If you want to make a real cleaning, which you don't have to do, you just have to look for the chametz. But I don't know. I think by everyone, some upgrade happens. Everything comes out. Taking everything out, you expose everything. If something is not exposed, if a person's loy is not exposed, that's the way I would word it, then there's no way that your fire of Kedusha is going to burn it. It's like me making a fire here at a Pesach and expecting that my chametz will somehow walk its way and get burnt in the fire. It doesn't work that way. So the kavana for looking for the chametz is in order for it to be consumed by a holy fire, but there is an avoida of looking for the chametz. Now hold that though. So that to me was a reconciliation. That I think this is what the Rebbe was saying. The Rebbe wasn't saying make believe, don't deal with the negativity. Don't even know what is my yetzer hara, and it's much worse than what I think it is. Don't give it these pictures to minimize it. Oh, in this area I have an issue. The root of that is in all areas. You have to dig it up, you have to find it, and then it gets burnt. That works for me.
So seeing it?
The more I can dig it up.
So the digging is the work. It's not fixing it, it's just the seeing it.
The seeing it, the being aware of it, and the being aware of it even deeper, to as deep as you can go. You know, there's so many interesting halachas when it comes to the looking of the chametz. You know, on one hand, we don't have to go looking in places where you don't think chametz should be there. Like, how much digging should you do? On the other hand, you know, a wine cellar. You gotta go look chametz. The Mishnah, you have to look for chametz in the wine cellar. Why? Because the waiter, not you. You, the balabas, you, the owner, you're not going to bring bread into your wine cellar. But during a meal, when someone has the duty to serve wine, the wine in the kitchen might have run out. They don't want to disappoint their balabas. They're going to go running into the wine cellar with a piece of bread in their mouth, and they might have left it there. That's, in other words, on one hand, you can argue, don't go digging. On the other hand, we go digging. And if you didn't go look, then the chametz is going to stay there, and your wine got contaminated. Your wine has chametz in it. That's the gewaltigkeit. The chametz comes out everywhere. So the Rebbe was not saying not to look at the dark. The Rebbe was not saying that. The Rebbe was saying is that when you find the dark, there's nothing that you can do about it. Nothing that you can do about it. I cannot get rid of it. God is going to get rid of it. And for me to be worthy, two things have to happen. I have to know it. I have to know where it is. Not to exaggerate it, but not to minimize it. And I have to keep my holy fire burning. That I could do. That we could do. And then we have this gevaldik ha-toira, that if I have step number one, I looked for my chametz. Step number two, I have my fire. Then the fire will burn the chametz. Now this leads us into a gevaldik idea. There are two psukim in Tehillim that we all are familiar with because they are in the beginning of Hallel. It's connected to the last days of Pesach, but it's still about Pesach. The Alter Rebbe wrote it in the Pesach Maimarim. And it's about how we reacted when the splitting of the sea took place. And what it says in the Pasuk is, Hayom ra'a vayonois. Looking at you, I'm changing my pronunciation. Even when I speak in your pronunciation, I sound like such an Ashkenazi. So I might as well just stay to who I am. That's life. We can't be someone else. You got to stay to yourself. Hayom ra'a vayonois, the sea, the ocean. The ocean saw and it fled. I'm going to skip the next few words because the next few words is about what happened when Yehoshua took us into Egypt through the Jordan, which is a nothing of a river. It was a much bigger river then, and there was a splitting of the river. So the Yarden is about the later event. But Hayom Rava Yonais, but Hayarden Yisoiv or Tisoiv twice, Lo'achar. And then in the next verse it says, Hehorim Rakdu Ha'elim, that the mountains danced like rams. They danced. So the Alter Rebbe is saying something beautiful, that the reaction in the world, and we have to personalize it, the reaction to the splitting of the sea was opposites at the same time. There was a tremendous feeling of being overwhelmed or being in awe to the point where I need to flee, fight or flight. You go into that mode when something threatening is happening. When something amazing is, when you win the lottery, you don't flee, you dance. And you would think, so when the sea split, it should have been dancing. But the Alter Rebbe says, no, that there were two things that were happening at the same time. What were the two things? That the sea, whatever that represents, saw, and it was overwhelmed. I think that's the most accurate word. It doesn't say from fear, but it was overwhelmed. I think fleeing is, you're overwhelmed. Like, I can't be here, huh?
Panic.
And many other words, but yes. I'm just trying to stay faithful. It's not a positive feeling. Fleeing, not calmly walking away. Running away wasn't a negative experience. And then the mountains are dancing. So what was it? And what does that mean? What does that mean for me? So here is the idea. And it goes together. When we became free, the first time around externally, for sure internally, but the story is related as a story, which it was a story that happened to our grandparents not that many years ago, even though it's 3,300, it's not that many years ago, that we were actual slaves and we became free. I don't know the world history enough to speak with more authority. I think that our story is an unusual story in the area of when we became free, we ran away. We ran away from Egypt. All other peoples that are seeking freedom certainly, ideally, don't want to run away. When certain segments of America were enslaved and they became free, if their freedom would have meant to leave, then they would not have celebrated their freedom, even though running away to another country and not being a slave is a lot better than staying and being a slave. But you were to think that the ultimate freedom is not to be displaced. Not to be displaced. Displacement is horrible. We were displaced and we were not happy about it. You read the Chumash. It was a, I don't belong. I don't belong in the desert. This is not my home. I want to go back home. Home was horrible. We all do that. We want to go, at least we had home. It's amazing how now, this is something unique to the Jewish people. When a war breaks out, not only Israelis, Jews, they want to go to Israel. The whole world is a war. You run away from it. No, it's like a lot of Jewish logic. There's war. I want to go home. Because you want to go home. But we did not stay home. We left. And we went to the real unknown. And this is something very meaningful. And let me word it this way. How would I know if my loy is getting consumed? How would I know if my negative side, my chametz, is really having a dent put into it? And that's a question that should be asked, because the negative lives in hiding, which is why people can go around and delude themselves by saying, yeah, I'm just going to be holy and I won't feel my negative, and they don't. But it's there. And at some point, it wreaks havoc. And everyone who hears this knows it to be true. Younger people, for sure, older people. So a person should not be that confident to say, oh, now I'm free. God burnt up my Yetzer Hara. Because whatever it is that I wanted, I don't feel that pull. Maybe I don't feel the pull to Aleph, but because the root of the Yetzer Hara had nothing to do with Aleph. And I'm going to feel an unhealthy pull to Beis or to Gimel. Who knows? I would argue that part of freedom, how do I know if I'm really being freed of my negativity? It cannot only be an experience of joy, of dancing. I'm free. It has to come along with a freedom. And I'm going to use the words of, I no longer belong. Why does it have to be that way? Because just like externally, people belong in a home. People need a place to be. This is my place. Make no mistake, everything external is mirroring something even deeper. It's really not about the home. Even though, yes, everyone should have a home, their home, for good or bad, for good and bad. That's our life. I have my psychological home. I am at home with me. Halavai, fully, but we all need that. If the me changes, you know who's the first one to lose? Me. If you ever walked around and felt, I don't belong, you can walk into a group of your friends and at times you can feel, I don't belong. It can mean many things. Let me just add one more to the confusion. It could be something external. Could be that the people there are not showing that to you, but you're picking up on something that they don't feel like you belong. Could be it has nothing to do with it. I think when people undergo real transformation, they don't recognize themselves. If you're not going to be your old self, you are homeless now. And you're going to have the feeling of overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm without a home. And you're gonna want to run away from it. It doesn't feel good. And I think this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying, in my words, but hopefully this is more or less what he's saying, is that when God reveals himself, the experience will not only be one of joy. It's almost like he's explaining how the sea split. The sea split, the splitting of the sea is like the greatest miracle. It's like the culmination of freedom. The sea split. What does Chassidus say? What is the sea splitting? What I began talking about right today, which is that I have buried in me something, good and bad. And my avoida, like the cleaning for Pesach, what do? You go into your drawer and you reveal everything. That which was hidden, you expose. And then you determine this is good for Pesach and this is bad for Pesach. Think about that. Think about that. Just take out the words Pesach. Think about just the inner avoida, that when I reveal that which was previously covered, what will be my experience? The emes is, I'm going to be dancing with the good that I'll uncover, that I never even knew. And I'm going to be overwhelmed and devastated by the bad that I'll uncover, because it's much worse than we think. The good is much better than we think. The worse is much worse than we think. And there's going to be a feeling of, I'm out of my element. Not now that I became free, it feels so good. It feels amazing and it feels horrible. Horrible because you're becoming a new you, and you are unfamiliar with it. And that's what happened, Begashmias, that we left our homes, we left everything that was familiar. And whenever something felt wrong or off, by default, we want to go back. That's all of us.
Did they want to go back to Mitzrayim?
That's what it says on the Chumash, right? And you wonder. We all do that. It just makes it more relatable. They complained at some point, Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh my goodness, but that's us. That's, we do that. In other words, it's mamash our story. I would say that just like you read what happened, and it was a big deal. It was like 40 years. Every person here listening, every person has exactly that in their life. Unless you minimize everything. I'm saying your life, this is our life. Our life is mamish. That we begin in Egypt, and everything that happens is very consequential, and all of that, we should just be awake for the ride. We shouldn't sleep through it. It's like we're going forward and we're going backwards. And you make progress, I think you're going to feel that you're a nomad. That's the word, in the desert. That's how we felt. Nomad is
a wanderer,
a homeless. Since LA is such a ruchni is like a city, of course there's homelessness. Because people are growing. All the transformation is happening over here. That's why in Florida there's no homelessness, because no one is growing there. They're stuck in their homes. It's gewaldic. It's not on my block. Someone else's block. So it's ironic. I heard this. It just came to me that after the stroke, that there were physical therapists that would do therapy with the Rebbe. And at times we heard the Rebbe shouting from pain. And what we heard, what I'm saying now, is hearsay. But it's a nice hearsay. I would love to believe it was true. That the Rebbe had then two secretaries, personal assistants, Rabbi Groner of blessed memory, and Rabbi Krinsky, may he be well. What I'm saying now is, to me, is a beautiful, both sides, is that Rabbi Groner took more the position that the Rebbe is the Rebbe. If he doesn't want something, we're not doing it to him. So whenever he began to complain, he kicked out the... And Rabbi Krinsky took the other position. No, that we have to treat the Rebbe. Of course, it's horrible that he's in pain, but it's not just. Bottom line is that he was in pain. So how do you deal with the pain? So the way... we heard Rabbi Krinsky say, whether he said it or not, is that pain is a sign that he's getting better. Because if nothing would be happening, then there's no pain. No pain, no gain. You have to know when to apply it. I think there's a lot of anguish that we have that might even be coming from such a beautiful thing. And if, as long as we don't make the mistake by thinking that the goal of life is to be pain-free. Pain-free is one way we define death. Life and pain are synonymous. Not that life is only, God forbid, life is both. I'm saying there's this and there's that. This pasuk, a beautiful mimer. There's joy and there's panic. if that's the, you have to know this, the vayanois comes together. So we don't want to have panic. We want to have joy. You want to be half. You want to be cut in half. No one wants to be half. That's, it comes. Comes one is connected to the other. And this is Pesach. This is Pesach. Pesach is the avodah for looking for the chametz, looking, not thinking we can get rid of it. That's the arrogance that has to be burnt. But the more we dig it up, the more we dig it up, the more ready we are for Pesach.
Next step after seeing
the next
it.
Step is to start to feel homeless. That's a simen. That's what I'm saying today. That, oh, I'm getting, I feel I don't belong. Look, like Beruchnius, and this is with the greatest empathy. First of all, everything is opposites. It's not wrong to say that unbelievable miracles are happening to us right now. It's not wrong to say that. But if someone only says that, they have to be challenged. Because the other side of what's happening right now, we're giving this class Tavshin Pei Vav before Pesach, is that in our lifetimes, the Jewish people that live in Israel were never as challenged as much as they are right now. Never. It's already in week number 4. Now, I know that everyone deals with it differently. I'm not trying to make someone feel crazy if they feel fine. Some people just manage it different. But if you think about following the safety guidelines, which we are responsible to follow, part of Yiddishkeit is also to be practical and to be careful, begashmias. But for a month, no one is sleeping one night. You're going in, you're going out, you're going in, you're going out. And that's even for people that have a mamad in their home. So they can put their literally, even there, every time the kid goes out of the blue, and every now and then, Rahman al-Itzlan, what happened over this weekend, one missile or two missiles, right? David's sling didn't work. And even there, I'm saying, on one hand, you can say it was a miracle. Because the mayor of Arad said that if the missile would have hit the apartment building, it was right next to it, no one would have survived that, including the people in the Mamad. This is what's, this never happened to us. I was in Israel in 91. Over, I think, 2 months, or something close to that, 39 missiles came from Iraq. You can't, it has nothing to do with the reality right now. Now, every day, multiple times, every night, multiple times. And the weapons are much more powerful. There we had the Cheder Atum and we had the gas masks, and if God forbid, even if God forbid, he would have thrown chemical weapons with the gas mask, you're protected. Right now, you're not fully protected. We're not fully protected by the laws of nature. We're not, even in the Mamad. That's how crazy this is. So it's a very difficult moment. People are going out of their minds. There are people that are sleep deprived. People are traumatized, especially the children. So there's a feeling of displacement. You can't even go where you want to go. You want to go there, you can't go there. You want to leave, you can't leave. I was thinking that the negative side I get, and I want to acknowledge it, not to minimize it, chas v'shalom, but there is a other side. This it's like we are displaced. We are all displaced. And then there's this concern, this anti-Semitism, we're real targets. These guys over there, these Islamists, they want to hurt us here. They want to hurt us here. So, you know, you have this, am I at home? Someone was mentioning before that there are many voices coming out of Israel that are really criticizing Jews living outside of Israel, that we don't belong here, we belong there. What it does to everyone is it makes a person question deep things within themselves, beginning with, do I belong where I am? Am I in the right place? And that's a very painful thing to face. And there's no doubt that that is part of real Geula. Because when we actually will be redeemed, don't think that with the redemption, you're going to feel like $1 million. This is what the Alter Rebbe says that was so gewaldic. That at Kriyas Yamsuf, we're talking about at the culmination of the redemption, there was a part of us that was dancing and part of us was so overwhelmed that the only reaction was, I am running away. The waters themselves ran away, and that's what split the sea. In other words, the feeling of needing displacement, that is the biggest miracle. We survived because of the splitting of the sea. That's how we got away from Mitzrayim. Why did the sea split? Because of this overwhelming feeling that the sea had, so to say, that I can't be here. I can't be here. I don't belong here. I belong nowhere. I don't know where to put myself. I don't belong. I don't belong. I don't belong is a component of the Geula. And without that, there can never be a new you without the old you being completely tzutumult. Can never be that way. And there's no doubt that all of us are getting tzutumult. All of us are getting shaken up. And if a person wants to make a choice of dissociating themselves from Israel, that's a cutting off your hand, because the hand is hurting. And it doesn't even work. And I think by Hashgacha Pratis, I would argue that most people are undergoing stuff that you never know, that are very, very deep now, everywhere, because we are all connected. And we hope that this is Taka, the final redemption. It could be the final redemption. They could not just wishful thinking like it looks like it, but we want to see it. We want to see it, and we have been disappointed so much. When the Rebbe was speaking about the redemption, I had a sister that used to have a suitcase. And mamish, emuna, and then the disappointment. And then how many times can you get yourself hyped up and then get disappointed? And forgot to expect us what? Then you become jaded. Like, again, the many, many solutions for all of this is to feel less. So many people in Israel, we were saying, they just don't feel. They say, no, it's fine, toughen up. I'm not judging that. Maybe that's a survival mechanism. It's not human. Human is to be present. And to be present right now takes the greatest strength. The greatest strength is to handle pain. That strength. The greatest strength. Not to deny that which hurts you. That's delusional. And that's weak. And this is a moment of pain. At the same time that it's a moment of miracles. And we have to get both. We have to be careful how we speak about it. I know in public, especially among my chavedim, like the right now, for me, the word positivity bias is a horrible word. That many people think that we're supposed to be biased towards the positive.
Kill them, like, too much positivity.
In other words, everything, look at things, it's a very superficial, underdeveloped, and I think ultimately not holy way of looking at life, of focus on the positive, be strong, just look at the good. It's amazing right now that the fact that so few Jews are dying, and the bigger picture is that we're going to destroy our enemies. All of that is true. But when you need to go there, because if you would look at the other side would bring you down, and you don't want to go down, that attitude is wrong. Like cling for chametz, go up and go down. Do both. There's a truth to that, and that has to be underlined. Not to just go into the negative. Neither is good. I think God has found it with the truth. The Rebbe represented the truth. The Rebbe was not biased towards anything. The Rebbe was emes. The Rebbe had divine inspiration. He knew what the truth is. We don't have that. But we should aspire to look for the emes. The emes is everything. And once you have everything, then the redemption, God willing, happens. And we should marry that. That would be amazing. To have Pesach with Mashiach, it's something in the realm of real possible. Remember last Friday, when a missile fell like 350 meters from the place of the Beis HaMikdash? I'm happy. You know, on one hand, I wanted it to fall there. And on the other hand, I would much rather we do it. We should do what we need to do, not have them do it by accident. Like, what kind of losing situation would it be? If it would happen, then we'll explain it in a different way.
No, I didn't understand.
I shared it many times, that I always was hoping what Tucker said, I agree with him, that Iran will throw a missile, and the missile will hit the Harabayit. Okay. It's going to clear up Harabayis. Then it's going to be a lot harder for whoever is against the temple to go against building of the temple. But the downside with that is that we're not doing what we need to do. If we have to build it, then we have to build it by taking out what doesn't belong and putting what belongs, not by having someone else do our dirty work, because we don't have the courage to do it. If we have to do it, we should do it. Okay. They should not have the...
You need someone to tell you off to make a change.
We were told of so much. Someone, we have to come... The real change is when we come to it on our own. Just it's much more painful that way. Another person can help. But if it didn't come from me, I'm going to see it, and then I'm going to unsee it. I'm going to go back to Egypt. That's all of us. We chop, I get it, and then we're right back. Why? Because it wasn't your own avoida. It's like having someone else clean your house for Pesach. It's like going for a Pesach program. Guys, go to a Pesach program. It's gesunte hate. But I'm saying, but Beruchnius, don't go. Beruchnius, you got to do it yourself. a lot more cleaning the chametz than the eating on Pesach. Eating on Pesach is overrated. It's about reorganizing. It's about displacement. Displacement is the redemption, if understood the right way.
So are we now, if we're experiencing displacement, are we Yotzi, or does it happen again when Mashiach comes?
I think we were over Yotzi. Over Yotzi.
So it's not like when Mashiach comes, suddenly we're all going to have this, like, splitting of the sea moment.
Well, first of all, there's going to be a splitting of the sea moment. I mean, listen, guys, for the lucky people around the table that have a home in Israel, lucky you, for most of us, myself included, there's going to be tremendous displacement. I'm going to be in a big gym somewhere with another, and that's Mashiach that we waited for. Yes, that's the word. Don't have a wrong understanding of what is.
I have a friend there.
Yeah, well, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Yeah, well, we all have a friend. Well, it doesn't matter. That's the point. I think the displacement for whoever will be displaced, that's part of what's necessary for redemption. No, and there's no way around it, and we should not want a way around it. It's good to be displaced in the context of redemption, not chas v'shalom stam. We should not displace ourselves. We should work on ourselves. But the feeling of displacement could be mamasha geula dika feeling, and we have that feeling, and may this be the geula. And we'll stop with that.